43. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchased of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight. Angels descending, bring from above echoes of mercy, whispers of love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above.
Turn to number 100. 100. And for those who can, let's
end this life. And thank you especially for your son who died on that cruel cross for Calvary, that we might have hope with you someday in heaven. We thank you for the many blessings of this life that you've given us, for this country that you've allowed us to live in, for this congregation here at Christ, and for all you people over the world. We ask your blessings on them, and that you will bless them and keep them safe and out of harm's way, and that much good will come from them. We ask your blessings also, Lord, on those that was mentioned here this day, that only you can bless them and give them the help that they like to have, and that we once again have them here to study with us, and they listen to your word. We thank you for the many blessings again, and thank you for all the things that you give us. This is our prayer in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Seated. In preparation for the Lord's Supper, let's turn to number 387. 387.
To my heart was the love of God. Jesus saves me and keeps me clean. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. His name. There to my heart was the love applied. Glory to his name.
Reading this morning is going to be from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Which is number 696. 696 will be the song of invitation after our lesson this morning. And once you've marked that, let's turn to number 339. 339. More about Jesus would I know, more of his grace to others show, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus, let me learn, more of his holy will discern. Spirit of God, my teacher be, showing the things of Christ to me. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus in his word, holding communion with my Lord, hearing his voice in every line, making each faithful saying mine. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me. More about Jesus on his throne, riches and glory all his own, more of his kingdom sure increase, more of his coming Prince of Peace. More about Jesus, more about Jesus, more of his saving fullness see, more of his love who died for me.
Great events of the Bible. Great events of the Bible that really influence us. And today, the one that influences us the very finest is the example that we see of Abraham and his being directed by God. If you turn with me to Genesis chapter 12, let's take a look at his situation. salvation along the way. In Genesis chapter 12, we're introduced to the idea that Abram is not Abraham yet. He's Abram. He is without a child. And as a result of this, we find God making a great promise to him and a great security that he has come to believe. At the first, he'll take this idea of God's direction and do, but then he'll begin to wonder in himself whether he should continue to follow that way or not. And as a result, he'll make up some of his own decisions as he goes along. This will help him to be a man of faith as he goes on in life, because he is going to be a person who will be the father of those things that are righteous and good in the future. Even to you and me today, we, when we were baptized into Christ, were added to his family. We are part of Abraham's family, and he was promised children as the sands of the sea. And so spiritually speaking, when we were baptized into Christ, we were added to his family, and we're spiritually a part of that great relationship with him. In Genesis chapter 12, commencing at verse number 7, please. And the Lord appeared unto Abram. You see, he's not Abraham yet. He's Abram. He's without a child. And said unto him, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he moved from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. The word Bethel is the El of God, and Beth means house, and it literally means house of God. He was dwelling in the idea of where God was in his mind. And he says in verse 9 of Genesis 12, and Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. And there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. Came to pass that when he was come near to enter into Egypt, that he said unto Sarai, notice not Sarah yet, because she has no child yet. And as a result, Abram and Sarai are together on this occasion. They're traveling down toward Egypt. And he says, behold, now I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. She was rather pretty. Therefore, verse 12, it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, and they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, that thou art my sister, that it may be well with me, and for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. Now in his mind, he was making up a plan whereby he would extend his life. He'd go on. No doubt he was surprised when God said to him, regarding thy seed, I will give this to thy seed, when he had no children. And he knew he had no children, and he knew that God called him by his name, Abram, meaning that he had no child. And no doubt that was a surprise to him, but he did what God said to do in moving about. But in this particular matter, he took it on his own merits. He took back the idea of faith in God to do what God said was going to happen. And he began to do his faith within himself. And so he chose to say, she is my sister, so that his own life might be spared. He thought in that way. What happened? Well, in verse 14 we read, and it came to pass that when Abram was come into Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. The princes also of Pharaoh saw her and commended her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entered Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen and he asses and men's servants and maidservants and the she asses and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house with great plagues because of Sarai, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidest thou, she is my sister, so I might have taken her to me to wife? Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way." And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away and his wife and all that he had. You'll notice that there was a problem, and the Pharaoh was found himself concerned with the fact that something happened to him that had not happened to him before at any time. He had plagues that came upon him, and plagues that came upon him he deemed to be the last change that happened in his household. The last change in his household that happened was he took this woman to be an extra wife for the Pharaoh. And thus he reasoned that it was due to something that dealt with her and this man with whom she had come, and he reasoned the idea that she really was not the sister of this man, she was the wife of this man. And so he called him in to that pay and sent him away in that regard. What's Abraham going to do? Well, we see up here in chapter 13, verse 1. And Abram went up out of the land of Egypt, and he and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle, in silver, and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning. Remember that Bethel means house of God. House of God. That's the idea that's in front of him when he says the word Bethel. And Ai, unto the place of the altar he had made there at the first. There Abram called on the name of the Lord. He began to go back to the Lord in this way. Now let's go to the New Testament and the Bible in Hebrews chapter 11 and see the rest of this account that we read here. In Hebrews chapter 11, beginning at verse number 8, we read, "By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went." You see, he's calling on God now, and God still tells him to go, but he doesn't understand nor know where he's going. Would you say, even in our day and time, would that take great faith on your part if someone came to you and said to you such things as God said to him, and you begin to do things not knowing what on earth will be the result of it? You don't have any idea where it's going to end up. But you believe that person enough. There are a few people in my lifetime that I would have that kind of belief in what they said. What they told me and mentioned to me, I would have the faith in them to say that this would be the thing to do. But even more so, he had faith in God who would have this. It says in verse 9, Hebrews 11, verse 9, "By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob." Now they had come about as a result of God's promise, "Your seed will inherit this land and be a part of this great dwelling." They had not yet, at that day in time, in Genesis 12, with Abram and Sarai, come about. But they had come about. And as a result of that, God is saying through here in the Hebrew writing here, that he was dwelling actually in the tents or in the tabernacles of Isaac and Jacob, as they lived and as they did what they did in life, not always good and not always faithful, but they did faithfully God's will in his way. And as a result of that, they were heirs with him of the same promise. They were going to have that land. They were going to be in part of that dwelling. "For he looked for a city Here's the key verse of the Bible. Hebrews 11 verse 10. For he looked for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. He was a man as he was instructed by God, who was looking for the spiritual meaning of life. He was looking up. He was thinking of not a location here on earth. He was thinking of a house made by God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, having not received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims in the land. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they had came out, they might have opportunity to be returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. What did Abraham look for? A city that had foundation, whose builder and maker is God. In verse number 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered Isaac. And he that received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now I want to stop here at verse 18. Remind the idea that when Isaac was born, little boy as he was, young man that he was, maybe a teenager at the time, God told Abraham, take him up to the Mount Moriah and offer him as a sacrifice for me. Now that's where we would probably stop. But he had a promise from God. And we don't know exactly what was in his mind when he got up early that morning and went. We do know he went the long route to Mount Moriah. He didn't go the shortest route. He went the long route to Mount Moriah. He was thinking as he went. And we know what he was thinking when we get to Hebrews 11 verse 18. Of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. He was as good as not able to have a child, but he had a child anyway. And now then he was reasoning, if God wants me to offer him to him, then he will bring his child back from the dead. After all, I received him just like that. The body of myself was dead. My wife was past age of bearing. This is in God's plan, not my plan. Because in a figure, I wouldn't have had him at all. And he wouldn't have. But he reasoned as he went. He offered Isaac. And he says, accounting that God, he was adding it up, that God was able to raise him up even from the dead. And of course, the Hebrew writer continues on about Isaac and Jacob and all that he goes along with. Now, I'd like for you to go back with me to the book of Matthew in this reference to this. And I said the book of Matthew, I don't mean the book of Matthew. I mean the book of Acts. And in chapter 13 of the book of Acts, you ever want to read the Old Testament in a quick way? You read the sermon that Paul delivered in his first missionary journey in Acts chapter 13 and 14 in the New Testament. And you read the basic ideas of the Old Testament. And what we have here is reference back to Abraham in his day and time and the circumstances of it and what Sergius Paulus wanted to know about this. In Acts chapter 13, beginning at verse number 5, Paul is preaching and teaching and says, "And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And they had also John to their minister. He was a servant along the way with them, John Mark. And when they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew whose name was Bar-Jesus, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, a wise man, who called for Barnabas and Saul, and desired to hear, notice, the word of God. And Elymas, for the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, that was Bar-Jesus, Elymas, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, which also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind and not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness, and he went about seeking some to lead him by the hand. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord." Notice in this regard that Paul in his work was continuing the work of the Lord. The work that had begun by way of Abraham and Sarah, by way of Isaac and Jacob, by way of this circumstance of life that he had made and faced in life. And now then it had come about to be in the hands of Paul to preach to the Gentiles the gospel of Christ. Notice the five things that are said here in regard to the same body of teaching that Paul was doing. Notice what he says there in verse 7. Who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. He wanted to hear the word of God. What did they preach to him? Verse 8. Seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. The faith was what he was wanting to hear. It was the word of God that he wanted to hear. It was the faith. When Paul challenged the man about his resisting Sergius Paulus hearing the word of God, the word of the faith, he said unto him, "Thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness." He was fixing to preach to him and teach to him righteousness. This is the right thing of God. "Wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord?" This is the right way that the Lord wants him to know. And will you not oppose that? Why do you oppose that? And then he says, "Thou shalt be going about by a season, be blind." And notice what is said then at verse 12. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed what Paul was saying, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. What's the doctrine of the Lord? It's the same as the right ways of the Lord. It's the same as the righteousness of God. It's the same as the faith that he's preaching here and teaching here. It's the same as the word of God that the man wanted to hear. These are five different expressions in the same context, the same sermon, the same time, speaking about the same idea. When you and I have heard about that one faith, Ephesians 4 and verse 4, when we have heard about that one faith and obeyed that faith, when it's commanded to you and me that we should believe in Christ, John 8 and verse 24, and that we should repent of our sins, Luke 13 and verse 3 and 5. That we should confess our faith in the Lord, Matthew 10 and verse 32. And that we should be baptized into Christ in Mark chapter 16, 15 and 16. He offered salvation to those who believe and are baptized. When you and I find ourselves following that right way, what happens to us? Well, in Galatians chapter 3, and I know I have you turning through various parts of the Bible today, but in Galatians chapter 3, begin at verse 24, and you read in regard to where they were and what was going on when they came into Christ. In Galatians chapter 4 and at verse 23. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. For after faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. The word schoolmaster in our English time means the schoolmaster, the teacher. The word schoolmaster originally meant the idea of the one who delivers the child to the school to be taught. The one who delivers that child to the school to be taught is the schoolmaster. The schoolmaster was that Old Testament law. That schoolmaster had been done away with. We might now be justified by faith in Christ in this New Testament time. And he says, but after faith has come, we're no longer under a schoolmaster. Galatians 3 at 25. And verse 26 says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you're all one in Christ. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Spiritually speaking, God's promised Abraham back there in Genesis 12 at 8, you'll have children as the sands of the sea, continues to be fulfilled as people today have that faith and obedience to the Lord, are baptized into Christ, and find themselves added to the family of Abraham. And ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. The promise God made back yonder continues to be fulfilled in your life and mine as members of the body of Christ. What a blessing it is to have this particular event to take place, is it not? An event in the time of the Bible that's so important to you and to me. If you're subject to Jesus' invitation today, beware of the fact that we tried to make things prepared for you to obey the gospel, be baptized into Christ, because you have a faith in Him and His Word. You're putting into practice what He has to say in repentance, confession, and now baptism into Christ will put you into that relationship with Christ. Being baptized into Christ, we put on Christ and become an heir of righteousness by faith. What a blessing it is. And it's a blessing indeed that I love to preach about, because it's a blessing for us. Now tonight we'll be singing. We'll sing about this great Savior and His great way and good ways. And we'll have a potluck time and a great prayer about it. And we'll have those kind of things that match up with gourmet hot dogs to be eaten. As you go with baked beans and you go with slaw and you go with other things that people do in regard to gourmet hot dog. But the idea is that we'll be together as a loving group of folks, an enjoyable group of folks, and have a great time in this, a great joy in this. But it can begin for you today. Would you come as we stand and as we sing this great song together? There's a anxious for you and me. Let us haste to His praise. Tis the fount of love from the source above, and He gives us all great grace. When He comes, you all. Thank you for, I know that some of you were not able to be here in person, but you brought things to be used yesterday for the young people and all that people that were here, and it was a grand occasion for us because of you. Thank you so much for your help. God bless you in every way. We'll be studying this particular matter to see whether the third Saturday in February after 6 years is not a good Saturday. There are a lot of things that go on, ball championships and things like that are taking place and messes up people's schedules and time. We'll move it to another time because we've got as good a program as is done any time, anywhere. We've got a good program. So we're going to do that program if we have to move it to another date and time to better accomplish to get people here. We'll do that. And so we'll do that for it. Good. But we'll be studying that matter over the next 6 months, ask people about it, and find if we have that as a, still a good day or not. Thank you. God bless you.
Sermon number 322.
Sickle brave and true in the fight for the right, I was there and spend my days in thy praise. All my journey through, let me live close to thee each day. Let me live close to thee. Take my hand and I'll always let me live close to thee. Let me walk close to thee each
portion of thy word and sing private songs and praise unto thee. We pray that our worship service has been pleasing and acceptable unto you and beneficial for everyone here today. We thank you for our Savior Jesus dying for the remission of our sins. We ask that you forgive us of our sins and help us to live as Christians should. We ask you to give us the strength to do thy will and not our own. We ask that you bless everyone here today and those that are on the prayer list. And now we ask you to go with us, protect us from all evil and harm, bring us back to our next point of time. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.